Ramsey TV.
It is so important to understand the deity of God. Another way to say it is the godness of God. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything of God. It can hardly be put into words. And that's the problem God has in that he creates creatures who learn by experience, and he wants to communicate with these creatures. But the problem is, for the creatures who don't know any better, is that when he communicates with them, when he stoops down to their level, they take a snapshot of him in that position. They take a selfie with God while he's interacting with people, and they frame that, they mat it, they frame it, put it on their wall, and they think that that is the quintessential God. That is his essence. He's down here dealing with us. He's talking about our problems. He's wondering why we do this, why we don't do that. And it is so easy to forget that above this interaction, he is still the deity. And he gives us verses in scripture that tell us that, but there are so few of them. But it doesn't matter. If there's only one of them, that's all we need. Here's one for you. Romans 11:36, all is out of, through, and into God. Or Isaiah 46:10, I, the Lord, do all these things, maker of good, creator of evil. I do it all. He's trying to tell us that there is a realm above this interaction where he does everything, and that is his unique problem. If God could have a problem, it's this. How do I maintain my deity, my godhood? He does everything. He created everything. He sustains everything. It's just, but see, it's not really a problem to him. That's a problem to us who forget him telling us in certain places in scripture, these big verses, that he's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. He's doing everything. But then he comes down to relate to us, and then we think that's it. That's who he is. I'm Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. I've taught on this before, but I'm just seeing more clearly all the time. And I got to share it with you as I see these things, that it's God having a problem. I repeat, God has a problem that is unique to any being, if you want to call God a being. See, he's not even a being. He transcends. He is a being, but he transcends identification in that you can place him here, you can place him there. No. He's everywhere. He's in everything. Everything is sustained by him. To even suggest that anything could exist or do anything independent of the deity, talking about free will here, is the height of irresponsibility. It is taking a snapshot of God while he's condescending to relate to his creatures. Anytime God is seen in scripture relating to his creatures, it is always, I repeat, always, always, always a figure of speech. That is not how he is. When he's arguing with Moses on Mount Sinai, well, I think I should destroy these people. No, God, for your own sake, don't do it. Well, okay, I won't do it. Every single time there is any kind of relation, anytime there's any kind of conversation or activity where God is involved, God is spoken of, God is speaking through his prophets or whatever, anytime God is speaking, it's all a figure of speech. And there's a name for it. It's called anthropomorphia. When God takes on the characteristics of a human that he doesn't have, but he takes it on for the sake of creatures that he created to experience stuff. See, we have this joy / agony of going through life, not knowing what's going to happen, experiencing things, learning about God through our experiences, having joys, having sorrows, having life, having death, having sin, having salvation. That's the way God wanted it. He set this stage, He set this table for all these creatures to have these experiences. And He hopes to hell that you don't forget that He transcends all of this little ant realm. This is an ant realm down here, okay? It is embarrassingly low. But to be tricked by religion or by your own childlike mind, no, actually a childlike mind is good in this case, by your own vaunted opinion of self, there it is, the vaunted opinion of self, to think that you are having a conversation with God and God is considering things that you're saying and that He's on the cusp of either doing something or not doing something, depending on what you do. This whole idea that prayer changes things, it's absurd. It's absurd to think that prayer changes anything. I know. God speaks that way because He wants you to pray. He wants you to long. He wants you to ask Him for stuff. But as you do this, right, Paul says, make your requests known to God. God wants to hear from you. He wants it. He likes it. But He doesn't need it. He's not waiting on pins and needles to hear from you. Oh, no, 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 He's not. If He comes across that way, it's a freaking figure of speech. The best analogy I can come up with, I have come up with this a long time ago. I'm going to tell you it once again. Tomorrow, I'm going to give you a practical example of it from a newsletter I wrote. You're going to love it. Tomorrow's going to be great, but today's great already, I think. Now, when we talk to babies, we go into their little bassinets and we go, "You're so cute. Yeah, that's how we talk to babies. We're lowering ourselves. We're lowering ourselves to communicate. The baby doesn't understand Shakespeare. But the baby does understand this. Baby gets it. Baby smiles. Baby laughs. Does this. But now, if I were to take a picture of you doing that with a baby, not just a picture, I take a video clip. And I just isolate that. I show a close-up of your face. I don't even show the baby. Huh, I'm clever, because I'm going to embarrass you on YouTube. So I put up this video, and now I say in the description part, this is how stupid this person is. This is how juvenile Jim is. He can't even talk. Gibberish comes out of his mouth. He can't even form words. This guy's supposed to be an adult. Look at this guy. But my question is that really Jim? Just throwing a name out there, folks. Is that the guy? Is that my friend who I'm trying to embarrass on YouTube? No. That's him for 25 seconds that he's relating to a being who is much, much lower than him. Doesn't even know it's been born yet. Shitting its pants night and day. I thought, this is, you think, okay, that's stupid to take a video of that guy and to tell people that's his essence. That's who he is. He's an idiot. Can't form words. This guy has a college education. What are you telling me? He talks like an idiot. It is just as foolish to take a snapshot of God in Scripture where He's relating to people and to say, I got a snapshot of God. This is who He is. This is who He is. God Himself has to be rolling His eyes. Huh? See, I just used a figure of speech Condescension. Anthropomorphia, also known as, if I didn't mention this, condescension. That's the common way to say anthropomorphia. Condescension, where God condescends to communicate with ants on the anthill. That's where we are. We're on an anthill, and we are ants. So to take a picture of God or take a video, some people take these verses, like my favorite is when God says to Adam in the garden, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Snapshot of God. Put it up on YouTube. Look, God doesn't know everything. God does not know everything. Prove it. Well, there he is. He's asking where Adam is. He must not know. Really? God doesn't know where Adam is? You sure? If you think that, and that's an extreme example, but that's a beautiful example because every other example lines up with it. It's just a representative example that most people can look at and say, well, of course God knew where Adam was. Oh, then why did he say he didn't know? Why? Because he's trying to draw something out of Adam. He's trying to make Adam, he wants to make Adam confront himself. He's putting up a mirror to the guy, to the first man, and saying, what do you think you're going to hide from me? So he plays the game. Yes, the figure of speech, known as anthropomorphia or condescension, is God playing the game. Because that's the only way for him to relate and to forget his deity is the most serious mistake you can make in the scriptures. Because understanding the deity of God, that God does all things and sustains all things and knows all things, that is foundational teaching. If you don't understand that, then you don't know nothing. You're off on the wrong foot already, because from that misunderstanding, from that misapprehension of God by looking at the snapshots, many bad things come forth from that. Human free will comes forth from that. When people look at certain verses and see people making decisions and they take a snapshot and they get all excited. Looky, 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 this guy made a decision. He must have done it without God. It's like, oh, how can you be so stupid? Can't do, and nobody can do anything without God. You have to remember that. God says that so few times. All is out of, through, and into me. I do all these things. I operate all things in accord with the counsel of my will. Get it, get it, get it. Like, that's the high view. That's the high view. I don't have to be doing this. God says, I don't need this job. I don't need this. I don't have to do this. I don't have to talk to ants. I don't have to go goo, goo, goo. You see, whenever he's talking to his prophets or whenever he's conversing with Moses or with Abraham or anybody, it's a goo, goo, goo moment. This is God's goo, goo, goo moment. This is God saying that. But we think it's so profound because he's talking like Shakespeare. It's in our language, so we're impressed. But it's the exact example on a higher level of the baby example. You can see it in the baby example. Oh, yeah, of course, that guy's not really like that. He's just talking stupid to entertain the young baby. I say, of course. Now, keep your mind there. Okay, keep that. And now extrapolate and take it to the deity. Because that's exactly what he's doing. And to develop error based on the error of forgetting that God does everything is profound error. And you're led off into all kinds of crazy things, and Christianity has bought into all of it. One, that prayer changes things. Two, that, you know, God is waiting to see what humanity is going to do. Three, that God gives human beings some latitude. What? Latitude? To even suggest that is to not know the power, the deity, the majesty of God. God's up there like, I tried, I gave up these big verses. All is out of, through, and into me. You would think they would remember that, but no, they don't. They don't remember it. Why? Well, it's easy to forget it. Why? Because human beings like it. when God converses with them. Human beings like it when they get the idea that their desires or their decisions or their dispositions are vitally important to God, to his feeling of well-being, to his feeling of value and worth, and that they like the idea that God is like looking on and, why, I'm rather impressed by you. See, I've said it over and over again, that's the relative perspective. So we have the relative perspective, that is God relating to people, people relating to each other. It's there. It's in thousands and thousands and thousands of verses in the scripture. Thousands of verses, God relating. But what people forget, just like in the baby example, is the absolute, the way things really are. When you're not comparing it to anything, the buck stops with God. It's the big picture. It's God Almighty. It's God who does everything. It's God who makes everything. And that's his problem. He does everything. He makes everything. He sustains everything. But he still has to relate. Well, people don't like that viewpoint, the absolute viewpoint. Why? Because the absolute viewpoint makes people feel small. People don't like to feel small. I used to live in a little town called Greenwich in Ohio. No, I'm sorry. It's not Greenwich. It's Greenwich. And there were people in that town. I was always amazed at how certain people in the town, like the postmaster, thought they were all that. Like the postmaster of Greenwich, Ohio, zip code 44837, got the idea that she was this all-powerful being. My father-in-law and his brother used to do the rural routes in Greenwich, Ohio, 44837, and their postmaster just lorded it over them, threw her weight around. She was a big fish in a little pond, to say the least. It's like, I always wanted to go in there and tell her and show her, I have a Google Earth here. I don't know if you've ever heard of this app, lady. This is Google Earth. Now, okay, now we're zoomed up on Greenwich, Ohio, and we're zoomed up on U.S. Route 224, also known as Main Street, and there's the post office building. Oh, and look, I'm going into the window. There's you running the post office. Ooh, you're the boss. You're something. You have authority. It's true, but it's all relative. Now, lady, I'm gonna zoom out. Woo-hoo, watch this, lady. I'm going to zoom out on Google Earth. Da-ding, 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 da-ding. Ooh, Greenwich isn't that big, is it? Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. Ooh, look. Greenwich is just a little speck on this thing called North America. Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. Oh, look at this. North America is just a speck on this thing called Earth. Ding, ding, ding. Ooh, Earth. It's part of this thing called the solar system. Solar system's part of the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, shit, look at this, lady. This is a photograph from the Hubble telescope. Looks like the Milky Way galaxy is a speck in the freaking universe. Now, take that and move it up infinitely, if you can even imagine infiniteness, which you can't, so don't even try. You'll hurt yourself. We have God. And I haven't even begun to speak of his majesty. I mean, you can't even begin to see how God is so big over this. It blows my mind how people forget that. It blows my freaking mind how anybody thinks that God depends on us waiting to see what we're going to happen. Is mourning, is worried, hopes his plan can come out, gives people certain latitude, but then runs in to correct it when they seem to be going off course. This is the epitome to me. I'm sorry if anybody feels this way about God. I'm sorry. I hope to cure you today. This is the epitome of stupidity. It's the epitome of daftness of forgetting that there's an aerial view. There's a satellite view. There's a Hubble telescope view. And again, that's God's problem. He's above everything, but he creates a stage, a humble little stage called Earth. He populates it with people, sets up post offices in little towns. And people in the little towns are supposed to do their jobs. They are supposed to do their jobs well. But as they do their jobs, they're never to forget the deity, the godhood of God, that they would not even be breathing apart from God. They wouldn't even be moving apart from God. They wouldn't even be existing apart from God. Ooh, seems to me like our Apostle Paul said that to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. In him we live and move and are. That should tell people something. No, they turned a blind eye to that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that because that makes them feel small. They like to be big fish in little ponds. Makes them feel important. If they think that in him we live and move and are, it makes them feel kind of, oh, shucks, I'm not as great as I thought. I don't have as much independence as I thought I had. In fact, I don't have any. And that makes them feel small and makes them feel little. But here's a verse where God is waiting to see what people are going to do. Here's a verse where God is asking where Adam is. Oh, they like those verses. Why? Because it makes them feel big. They take a picture of the goo-goo moment and they say, this is God. No, they say, this is God. And this is me. This is God. And this is me. God is wondering where I am. Insert your name. Adam, where are you? Insert your name there. If your name is Mike, insert Mike. If your name is Jim, insert Jim. If your name is Alice, insert Alice. Insert Mary. Alice, where are you? Well, you just have to find out, God. It's a Jonah moment. What's Jonah going to do? Oh, he's going to get into a big boat, and he's going to sail away from God. Jonah's going to get in a boat and hide. God wants him to go to Nineveh. Well, he'll show God, I'm going to get in a ship, and I'm going to hide in the bottom. I'm going to put a blanket over my head. God won't find me. God won't find me here. Ha ha. Pull a fast one on the deity, will you, Jonah? Well, God plays the game. Jonah, where are you? Plays the game. Why does he play the game? To bring the guy out. To him, he's playing a game. To us, it's deadly serious. And it is serious. But while you're involved in the seriousness, while you're making the decisions and living, for the love of God, don't forget that you are a creature, that there is a satellite view. The satellite view will make you feel small. But if you're wise, only God can give you that wisdom. He doesn't choose to give it to everybody. That's one of his prerogatives. Makes vessels of honor, makes vessels of dishonor, makes everybody who he want, how he wants them to be. That's his prerogative. Read Romans chapter 9. Hardly anybody believes it. Read it anyway. Try to believe it. If you can, God gave it to you. If you can't, there will be a brighter day for you. But when you see the big picture, I want you to enjoy feeling small, to enjoy being a creature and having a creator who is loving, by the way. That's a real bonus, isn't it? That this all-powerful, all-knowing being is love? Huh. That's a real break. That's a real break. I want you to enjoy feeling small. Yeah, you can still do your things in your little post office world in whatever zip code you're in, but never forget, for the love of God, because he's telling us, never forget these big verses. Where God, Ephesians 1:11, is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will.